महाप्रभु विष्णु प्रजा कृष्ण प्रस्ताव मत भक्ति विदान स्वामी नमस्ते सरस्वत देव गौर भरे चरणी विशेष सुनि हरित स्वच्छ देश चरणी मो ज्ञान चिमदंद सुगनंदन श्रोतया छत्मा श्री गुरु नम पंचकृत सिंधु देव चकित नंदावे In this introduction to the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada quotes the verses of the Gita Mahatmya from the Puranas. I don't know exactly where, but he quotes the seven verses. I want to read one of them. Sarvo Manisho Ghavo Dukha Gopala Nandana Parto Vatsaha Sudhir Bhokta Dukham Hitanta Maha. This very nicely compares the Upanishads to a herd of cows. You know, the Upanishads are the final part of the Vedas. The study of the Upanishads is called Vedanta. Which teaches about ultimate, highest truth. It's the Upanishads. And the Upanishads are very difficult to understand. Before I became a devotee, I ran across devotees. I was in my third year of graduate studies Department of Religion at Temple University. I'd taken many courses in Hinduism and I'd read the Upanishads quite a few times. I'd also read the Bhagavad Gita quite a few times. Now I knew how difficult the Upanishads were. But I was interested in this. I had courses in Vedanta and so on. At that time, actually, the person who was teaching, the professor who was teaching, of course, in Vedanta, his name is Swami Nikalananda. He is from the Ramakrishna Mission in New York City. He would come down to my Philadelphia, Temple University in Philadelphia, to teach. He was initiated by Sharada Devi from Ramakrishna Mission. So I understood, I studied from him. Anyway, it is very difficult subject matter, Vedanta. So, but here it is said that these Upanishads, Sarva Upanisho Gavaha, like a cow, a herd of cows, all of the Upanishads together. And then this, the cowherd, who herds these cows, Gopalananda, is Krishna. He's the herder of the cows of the Upanishads. And then there's this Partha Vatsa. Partha means Arjuna. He's the calf. Because, you know, in India, the system is when you want to get milk from a cow, first you bring the calf. And then the cow gives milk, and then you take some. But the calf always goes first. And then the rest of the milk, who's supposed to drink it? Sudhir Bhokta. Those who are Sudhir, the very wise and intelligent people, devotees. They are the ones who are now supposed to drink this milk, which is called Gitamrita. Bhagavad Gita. So here is Krishna himself, who's the herder of the cows of the Upanishads, who milks those cows. Of the essence of everything and presents it to us in the form of the Bhagavad Gita. So the point of the Bhagavad Gita is that it is meant for people in this age. It's actually now very, very difficult to study Vedanta properly. First of all, you have to know Sanskrit. To really do it. And you have to spend so many years of study, as people used to do in India. I don't think they do anymore. So it's going on. And today in Kali Yuga, people are not capable, really, of this effort. So, of course, when Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, it was right at the beginning of Kali Yuga. And people would not be able to anymore understand the secrets, esoteric teachings of the Upanishads. And so, for everybody, he took these teachings in an easily digestible, very tasty form that everybody can understand. And that's this Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is actually in very simple Sanskrit. I took some Sanskrit course in the university, and at the end of 1 year, you can pretty much read the Bhagavad Gita. It's very simple, very easy. But you want to read the Upanishads or even Srimad Bhagavatam, oh, that's another 2 years before you can even begin. It's so difficult. But the Bhagavad Gita is very simple. But it presents the teachings of the Upanishads in a way that we can understand. Yeah. And it's through Prabhupada, really, that we can understand it. As Malati Prabhu mentioned, this Prabhupada called this Bhagavad Gita as it is. This is a title that sometimes upsets scholars. Yeah, because how so many years afterwards can somebody present something as it is? And anyway, everybody gives his own interpretation, the thing like that. So they don't believe this Bhagavad Gita as it is. But I've come to believe it completely. At first, of course, I was also a scholar, so I was skeptical about this. But actually, just my own experience with the Bhagavad Gita, I began to read it in college, in different English. At that time, I didn't know Sanskrit. So I was taking and studying in English translations. And in every case, I was very attracted by the Bhagavad Gita, but its teachings to me were very hard to understand, very mystical, kind of like didn't know quite what it was getting at. So one, two, three, finally, after 3 years, I'm reading three different translations of Bhagavad Gita, I had another course, and I read this another translation. And I had to write a paper on the ethics of the Bhagavad Gita. And this was also a very famous professor from Bengal who was teaching this course, and had to write this paper about the ethics of the Bhagavad Gita. And so I read it again, third time. And this time when I read the Bhagavad Gita, I suddenly got this idea that what the Bhagavad Gita is really teaching, the real ethics of the Bhagavad Gita, is to surrender to Krishna. Now, none of my professors who had taught me the Bhagavad Gita had ever said this. So I thought it was my original discovery. And I looked again, and once I had this idea, when I looked at the Bhagavad Gita, I thought, wow, yeah, that's what it's teaching. It's actually teaching surrender to Krishna. And then I thought, I remember this day very vividly. You know, I was sitting at the table in our dining room with this Bhagavad Gita in front of me in our apartment, and I was thinking, well, you know, if this is what the Bhagavad Gita is saying, the surrender to Krishna, then I should do that. And then I did like this. I closed my eyes and kind of went like this, and I went, surrender. I open my eyes, nothing happens. I remember doing that. Clearly, I didn't know exactly, but that feeling was there. That's what it's teaching. I was convinced now that's what it was teaching. And then, by the way, I wrote my paper on the ethics of the Bhagavad Gita. And first I just reproduced what the teacher had said about the ethics of the Bhagavad Gita. Then, in the last two pages, I then added my new insight that the Bhagavad Gita was teaching surrender to Krishna. And for that reason, I did not get an A on the paper. It was marked down to a B. Because the teacher did not like that part of the paper. So, actually, Prabhupada's purport is not really adding an interpretation. It's just cleaning out the misunderstandings. Because now the Bhagavad Gita, the Upanishads are hard to understand. So Krishna speaks the Bhagavad Gita. And the Sanskrit is so simple. Manmana, bhavamadbhakta, madhyayiva, namaskaru. You cannot get any simpler than that. It's nothing like child's nursery rhyme. Manmana, bhavamadbhakta. Think of it. Become my bhavamadbhakta, madhyayiva. Worship me. Mamnamaskaru. Offer obeisances to me. Well, you know, we all can understand that. Why can't these scholars understand this? What's the problem? Krishna has made it as simple as possible, and still they cannot understand. And that's sometimes, some people are unfortunate that when Krishna says surrender to Krishna, they say, well, not really. No, you shouldn't do that. Because they don't want to. They don't like what Krishna is saying in this case. But Krishna, once you clear away the garbage, that's the misunderstandings, and you take the Bhagavad Gita as the Bhagavad Gita says it is to be taken. Again, it's not a big mystery. Krishna says in the fourth chapter to Arjuna, he says very clearly, I'm going to speak this, I spoke this before, to Vivasvam. There was a parampara of Rajarshis that it went down, but now it's broken. Now I'm going to give you again this Bhagavad Gita. You can understand it, Arjuna Bhaktosi Me Sakachiti, because you are my bhakta, my devotee, and you are my friend. Therefore you can understand this Bhagavad Gita. So he's saying one has to understand it from the right person, who's not envious of Krishna, right? Who doesn't want to accept this entry. But if you understand it from the right person, then its meaning becomes revealed. So the Bhagavad Gita tells us how we are supposed to do it. Right? It's just like Prabhupada gives the example that you get some medicine from the doctor. And then it says on the bottle, it has instructions. Take two tablets three times a day with meals, for example. You have to do that. You follow those instructions. If you follow your own instructions, then not only might the medicine not work, you actually might do yourself some harm. So Krishna has given those instructions. This is the same, similar instructions are there in the Upanishads, again, which nobody can understand. But the very last verse of the Saitashvatara Upanishad, Yasya Deve Para Bhaktir Yata Deve Tathai Gura Tasyaite Katita Yarta Prakashate Mahatmana. This verse is saying that to that great soul, who has para bhakti unto the Lord, who has pure devotion to the Lord, and as to the Lord, to Guru. Tata Devi, Tata Guru. To that person, the meanings, the katika hyarta, artha means the meaning or the purport of these discussions. In other words, you've just been hearing or reading a Saitashvatara Upanishad. So now, here it says, how do you understand this? You want to understand the meaning. And here is what you must do. You must have para bhakti. And then the meaning prakashante, it will shine forth. So say, here are the conditions under which actual understanding takes place. It tells you that. So when I read that, as I, with the Bhagavad Gita, so with the Upanishad, if I want to understand them, I should follow the direction. It tells you how to understand them, what you must do. Okay. I want to understand them, I do it the way it says. So, but sometimes the people, they want to, they say, yeah, we're also trying to understand, but they don't do that. So, they're welcome to do what they want, but it's a free country so far. But at least, for those of us who are serious, Krishna has told us, the Upanishads have told us, Bhagavad Gita, what we have to do is you become a devotee. We should hear Bhagavad Gita from the person who is a servant of Krishna, and then the meaning will become revealed. Actually, what happens if we hear Bhagavad Gita correctly from the right person? We will have the exact same experience that Arjuna had on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. There's no difference. It may seem that that was long ago, in a different time, in a different place, and here we are now, a different century, different place, but all, that, from a spiritual point of view, that does not matter. If we follow the process, we can hear as though we are hearing directly from Krishna. But there has to be some effort in our part to make ourselves proper hearers, to hear the Bhagavad Gita properly from the right person. And then it becomes quite clear. I'll just take a minute. Let me just explain to you a quick overview of what the Bhagavad Gita is doing. It's like a survey. The question in the Bhagavad Gita is, what is Dharma? What is Dharma? And Arjuna asks it in his immediate distress condition, what's the right thing for me to do? And when Krishna answers this question, he doesn't just stop on a superficial level, but now he begins to explore, what is Dharma? Because that's the whole Vedic culture, is about what is Dharma, and what is actually Paro Dharma, the highest Dharma. The Supreme Dharma. And so if you look at the Bhagavad Gita, you will see that in the Vedic literature, many different things have been recommended. The Vedic literature is compared here to a herd of cows in another place, is compared to a kalpa vriksha, that tree which gives you any fruit you want. So certainly it's related to spiritual things, but also medical practice, city planning, they're just books of knowledge, and it includes everything. And it has something in the Vedic tradition for everybody. People are different, they're in different situations, they're on different levels of spiritual advancement. And so the Bhagavad Gita takes people as they are, not the Bhagavad Gita, the Vedas take people as they are and tries to at least get them advancing on the path. You may be way down here, or we may be here, or we may be here, or we may be here. The Vedic tradition wants to, at least wherever you are, you should make some advancement. And so it seems to have so many different things. It looks like so many conflicting ideas. Sometimes. So what Krishna does in the Bhagavad Gita is basically conduct a survey of the various teachings in the Vedic tradition. So it talks about the path of work, of karma yoga, of working without attachments to results. But then ultimately Krishna says the proper way, really, not to be attached to the results, is to work for me. Both are obligation of Tapasam. I am the enjoyer of all sacrifices and austerities. I am the enjoyer. They're actually meant for me. You may do the sacrifice, you may do the austerity, you have a right to that. But who is the actual enjoyer? It was Krishna. But he takes you through that, analyzes it, and you discusses the nature of work, the nature of karma, how karma binds us, and how we can perform our karma in such a way that it does not cause bondage to this world. And that we actually see ultimately when we understand karma completely, it becomes none different from devotional service. In the sixth chapter, Krishna discusses yoga, Ashtanga yoga, Pantanjali Ashtanga yoga. And then in the course of that discussion, we come to the conclusion, we see what's actually in Pantanjali Yoga Sutra, that the yoga, that this is for getting to come into contact with the Lord in the heart, the Paramatma. And then Krishna ends that chapter saying that that person who's constantly worshipping me, serving me with love, that person is the highest of all yogis. So that actually by performing devotional service you have reached the goal of yoga. This is Krishna says this also. He discusses the process of jnana, what's called jnana yoga, understanding by philosophical. And then he also comes to a conclusion there too. Bahulam janmanamante jnanamam jnanavanmam kapadhyate. That person who is searching for knowledge, he's become jnanavan, he has jnana. But bahulam janmanamante, after many births, this is not a quick job. It'll take you many births. Births to do this. Jnanavan, what does he do? Mam prapadyate. He surrenders to me. So if somebody says to you, I am a jnani, and I'm practicing jnana yoga, but he hasn't surrendered to Krishna, well, Krishna says, no. If you are jnanavan, you have come to the actual conclusion of knowledge, mam prapadyate. Vasudeva sarvamiti. He says, Vasudeva, Krishna is everything. And then sa mahatma sadurlabha. Not every day, ordinary mahatma, a very rare mahatma actually understands this. Because this knowledge Krishna describes over and over in the Bhagavad Gita as secret, kujam, kujatamam. But in the Bhagavad Gita, he makes it an open secret. Because you can see, he spells it all out. He says it. He shows you this one after the other, one after. If are you worshipping various devatas? Well, actually, you're not jnanavan either. Krishna says you're vrittigyana. Kamastaistai vrittigyana. You've been deprived of jnana. Because people who are worshipping devatas, they're doing for some temporary benefit. It's not very smart. And then Krishna goes on to show that when we are worshipping Anya Devata, other divinities, that Krishna says, I'm in your heart and I give you the Shraddha so you can worship. I'm the one who's giving you the Shraddha, and I'm the one that enables this Devata to bestow your benediction. So if we actually understand worship, if Krishna's behind the scenes in every case, you can go directly to Krishna. So I can go on, but one after another, Krishna looks at these different processes and show how, if you understand it fully, if you follow it out, if you comprehend it in depth, it takes you to Krishna. And then he says in the 15th chapter quite clearly, Vedaishtha sarva aham eva vedyaha. All the Vedas are just searching after me. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. So that's why when you come to the actual last chapter, we are well prepared by the famous summary statement, Sarva dharmam parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. Aham samsara bhaktiyo shrisham sushama. Here's, you've looked at all these different dharmas. You can see if you understand these different dharmas, they take you to Krishna. So Krishna says, therefore, sarva dharmam parityajya. You can make a quick work of it. Mamekam saranam vraja. And you can come to me directly. And you will have, we will have accomplished everything by any of these Vedic paths. So this is very clear. At least Prabhupada has made it clear. Now I must tell you now that nowadays, over the years, I was in graduate school studying the Bhagavad Gita, the different translations and interpretations available to us. None of them said surrender. The teaching of the Bhagavad Gita is surrender to Krishna. Now, you know, some 30 years later, they all say that. on that course, everybody has now come to understand this. They've all changed. So, Prabhupada has done something. People looked at the Bhagavad Gita, and they said, yeah, you know, this interpretation by the impersonalists, this is not right. But the Bhagavad Gita is actually teaching us surrender to Krishna. Day. Still, sometimes if they don't want to surrender, that's another thing. At least they cleared away some misunderstanding. And I think that clearing up process will go more and more. And people will actually appreciate the Bhagavad Gita more and more and more. It is the this is the essential handbook for getting through Kali Yuga. Everybody should have it, and everybody should consult it. And you read it, and when you come to the end, start over again in the beginning, and it will be, again, you'll see new things. Especially, you should read Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, because his purports bring out so many things that are in these verses. Thank you very much. Thank you.